Continuation prayer, the preparing for the future, being prepared for the storm. And one thing there is, you know, there are these things we should look at in our own personal lives. And our families, and you know, our friends, our community here. And one thing here I just came up with is that something, you know, so practical as to how much can I live offline without a mobile phone and without the internet. And I am, you know, I have been living on the internet since like 92 or something, 93. So I know that, but I also know life before that, because then I was like in my late 30s. So for me to live offline, it's not a problem. The only thing is communication with friends. But as long as the internet exists, then that communication can still go on. There, you know, we can build our own tools. But even if there is no internet connection at all, then we know how to live with that. That's our, you know, us boomers, we know that. And the thing is that you get used to things, take them for granted and get spoiled. And you think that without these fantastic technological devices, I wouldn't be able to live. Society would crash down, but it won't. It would just go back to, you know, the way it was when I was a kid, really. I would say a simpler life. And, you know, often we hear people speak about the past, showing pictures from the past and so on, that things were not better in the past, they were worse in the past. And others say that everything was better in the past, and that kind of conflict again, or debate. But for us who lived in the past, which we all did, of course, but or in a different past when things, you know, when we didn't have these fantastic... Okay, they went to the moon in 1969, that's what they say at least. And I was 14 then. That's when the fantastic technological innovation started coming. After we got the fridge and the vacuum cleaner and all that in the 50s or whatever. Yeah. And what was it? You know, well, TV, color TV, radio, of course, had been there for a while. There was something called computers. And oops, we saw the Beatles on the satellite broadcast. The television set, that was a big deal. And our phones we had standing on a table in the hallway, that was our phone for all of us in the family. And you wanted to call us, you called on that number and you asked for who you wanted to talk to. Worked fine. And if someone now says that everything was better, worse in the past and people suffered because they didn't have this or that and this or that, when I think back, there was nothing I would kind of was missing and would have said, you know, oh, if I had all that, then I would be finally feeling somewhat satisfied. Yes, if there's anything I would say, it is the ability we have now to learn things, you know, to learn to play a musical instrument, looking on YouTube, and to record our own songs and music and make our own films. And, you know, that was just I couldn't even dream of that when I was young in that age. Even up to my 30s. Or, well, 20s. And I think that's really what technology should be about, but progress and all that should be about to bring about things that are really useful for us, but then also use them in the useful way. Not just by playing stupid games and sharing selfies and looking at porn. So it's all a matter of how we use it. But what I wanted to really stay with here is that me and us, I would say back then, in the 60s, 70s, 80s, and so on, before this online world appeared, and before, well, otherwise things looked pretty much the same, really. There were cars. We lived in apartments or houses. We had bicycles or didn't have these electric things that we were driving around with at breakneck speed on the sidewalks, which I think is this, you know, I'm an old guy now. But we had each other. We had each other's company. We had food. Well, one thing we have better now, actually, which I'm happy for, is I can get better quality food. Because you can get organic, which you hardly could do then. In the 70s. Here. And so, but also knowledge about what's going on, knowledge about history, knowledge about philosophy, knowledge about everything. And this fantastic AI, as it's called, engines that you can communicate with as if they were persons. Well, look out, because if you fall for that, you may get really fooled. Sometimes they make incredible mistakes, incredibly convincing. So you have to check everything they say. But anyway, they can help us to find knowledge. They kind of extract knowledge from the big chunk out here that is the collective knowledge of the human species throughout, you know, thousands and thousands of years. Since we started writing things down, we can have it online and have access to it by these engines that can simply answer our questions, even verbally. It's amazing. And of course, this is how smart we living beings can be, inventing such machines. So that in itself is a miracle, I would say. So there are some of those, but let's not use them right. But if they are not available anymore, electricity. We can handle it without oil now. We just need to do a little work to get it right. There is still land to grow food on, and it's still fertile in many places. And there are cows that give dung that can fertilize. So let's just, you know, go back to the land again. Don't just kill the cows. They're the most friendly and helpful animals. There are friends of us humans. I mean, you know, this kind of just waking up and the meaning that we live awake, not in some slumber. You know, in the shadows of the pub, as I usually say. Slumbering. And that's why I think it's good what's happening now. What's going to happen? If you can see it, it's good for you, because then you will not be taken by surprise. Because this Western civilization is going through a collapse. And with that I mean the bubble. It doesn't mean that the end of the world and life is over and Messiah is going to come and bring us on his golden chariot back to heaven, and we all die together in the spectacular nuclear explosion. Well, I mean, if we want to do it that way, then... But if so, then yeah, we got it over with. I guess it's a quick and painless way to go. Your body just being extinguished by that powerful light ball. Of the nuclear bomb Kali. I mean, some Indians, they see the nuclear bomb as an incarnation of goddess Kali. And, well, maybe millions and millions of us will be extinguished by goddess Kali. But then, so be it. God's will. And, well, I would say we, as a humanity, it's hard to say today that we don't deserve it. So let's just, you know, depend on God and Goddess and God and try to be kind to each other, raise above all this religious or political or racial, whatever differences. I mean, that much we should learn to do. Treat each other as brethren and sistren, even whether close or distant. And we shall get it, you know, nice. But maybe or maybe not, a big chunk of fat has to be burnt up to get back to normal again. But wouldn't it be nicer if we now wisen up enough so we don't jump on that nuclear bandwagon? And of course, especially those sitting in leading positions, hey, you listen now to your people, listen to those who have some knowledge. and some wisdom here and wisen up yourself, because you're going to burn up also in it. Don't you see that, you fool? So when I'm just speaking about this, you know, global situation today, it's not just because I find it interesting, stimulating to us conversation, but and not out of some kind of romantic notion that I'm going to change the world, because I keep hearing this, oh, there's nothing we can do anyway, so why care? But again, there is a lot we can do, and that's what I just want to show here. First, to, you know, to be prepared ourselves. And I always spoke about being ready, you know. How can I continue doing my job here? I'm drawing my graphic novel and I'm producing this. How can I continue doing it if I'm offline? Well, I can. Just have to set things up locally. And yeah, sorry, won't have access to the great sources of knowledge out there, but I have the knowledge I need, and I have books in my bookshelf. I'm fine. How about you? And if you're into knowledge, well, maybe think of that. And if you're writing books, maybe, you know, think about printing them on paper. Paper books are, you know, they last for a while. And, you know, they're... And that's my point, that everything has its use, and it's, I would say, also historically. But then things change. And it's always good to make up your life in such a way that it can go on the very basic level also, that you can uphold. But, you know, the sustainable situation of local sustainability like that. So, yeah. And then continue from there. Family, friends, local communities, our town, our village, our city. And that's how we... most of us really are. You know, we are not those psychopaths who are sitting up there with their billions and billions of money and their power and their weapons and their mad narcissistic drives. Let them kill each other. Let them send all their tough guys and girls on each other. Those mercenaries who get good paid to fight wars. That's mainly the ones who fight wars today. The ground foot soldiers. Who else wants to go out there? And they like to kill and get killed and rape women and whoever. And loot and steal and destroy and burn up and blow up. That's fun. Some think so. And then they kill each other and, you know. And just, you know, saying and there is hope, because at least what I can see, the Russians and the Iranians that I have understood now from neutral sources are quite careful not to hurt civilians. They hit with high precision on military targets. You know, yeah, of course, sometimes something falls down upon civilians and someone is killed, but very few. And of course, that's used by the propaganda on the other side. Look what these people are doing. They are cruel, they are vicious, they are so on and so on. But it's not like in the Second World War where they bombed out big cities. Huge bomb carpets, or Vietnam, killing civilians left and right and burning their villages just because these drugged out, drunk soldiers in America, young, scared guys, being viciously drafted and forced into this war, were so afraid and in panic that they saw enemies everywhere. I mean, these tragedies, well, of course, we can always say that it's their karma, these people in those villages as well. I mean, what can we say? God is fair, we have to trust that. Because they, our parents, love us. So, anyway.